Your neighbor is saved. Give your neighbor a high five and tell them, don't lose your salt. I don't want you to lose your influence. I want you to be able, when you walk somewhere, wherever it is, it could be on your job. And if there's somebody on that job that don't know Jesus, when you finish talking to them, they say, there is something about that woman. There is something about that man. In other words, there is some salt in your life. And you have created a thirst in that person's life. I'm here to tell you, salt is pure. It is pure. It's not perfect, but it's pure. And none of us are perfect as long as we're walking and talking in this body. But we must strive for perfection. Don't lose. Know why I don't want to lose my salt? Can I tell you why I don't want to lose mine? Because some glad morning, when this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Praise the name of the Lord. And I don't want to go through all of this just to get before him and him tell me, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I'm here to tell you, I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be salty. I'm going to be salty. I'm not going to lose it. Some may talk about me. Some may say things about me. Some may ridicule my name. Some may talk about this. They may talk about that. You know, he's snotty. He's uppity. He's this and he's that. But you know something? I don't mind. I don't mind being uppity for my Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm here to tell you that the wages of sin is still death. But that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if they laugh at you, don't you worry about it. If they call you a holy roly, don't you worry about it. If they call you holier than thou, don't you worry about it. You just keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Keep on. Jesus kept on. He kept on. They talked about him when he came on this earth. But he kept on. They called him everything but a child of God. But he kept on. Kept on till he marched up a hill called Calvary. Pierced him in his side. Drove nails through his hand and his feet. Stretched him out wide, lifted him up high. But he stayed there because he knew as long as he was up there, he was going to have some influence on every eye that saw him. Praise God, he stayed there until he died, and they put him in a borrowed grave. But after 3 days and three nights, that same Jesus got up, praise God, and declared that I got all power in my hand. Don't lose your salt. This is a message just to encourage those believers who are continuing to lift up the bloodstained banner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There might be somebody here today praise God, that you have not given your life to Christ. If you have not given your life to Christ.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with praising the Lord. Yeah, the brothers, they came on fire this morning. Amen. Oh, Lord, I tell you the truth. Got help on my mind. Look like everything pointing to what I'm going to talk about this morning.
Well,
amen. And so I would call our attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
Yes,
2 Chronicles, not Corinthians. This is an Old Testament. 2 yes, Chronicles. Sometimes we might not be used to the Bible. We might run to the New Testament, but it's Chronicles this time in the Old Testament. If you haven't really been used to using your Bible, look at the table of contents and see what page it's on. That's a quick way to do it. And that's what that's for. Until you get used to just flipping to it. Amen. Reverend Smith and Coleman and to all who are present, let me just say God is good. And his mercy endures forever. Beginning at verse number 12 of the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, I want to read verse 12 through 14 with the emphasis on verse 14 where we draw our text and subject. And it reads, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or I command the locusts to devour the land or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God, our Father, we thank you for another preaching privilege. We ask now for a fresh anointing of your Spirit. And in that anointing, grant us preaching power. And Lord, we be careful to give you all the praise. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ. Our Lord, we pray and thank you. Amen. You may be seated. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. For a few moments this morning, I just want to talk about if my people. That's my subject, if my people. Let me begin by saying that there are all kinds of people in our world today. There's hurting people in our cities. There's hurting people in our schools, in our neighborhoods, and even in our families. And my brothers and sisters, these people are Many are involved in different lifestyles, and they're trying to fill that emptiness in their hearts with worldly things. But no matter how hard they try to fill that emptiness, they will always come up short, because that emptiness was created in our hearts to be filled only by God. And note, we read in Acts 17 and 28, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our being." My brothers and sisters, without God, we are empty. Without God in our lives, there is no purpose. Without God in our lives, we search for the meaning of life. Without God in our lives, we are hurting. And that's why people are overdosing on drugs. Why? Because they are hurting. And that's why people are giving up on life and feel they have no hope. Why? Because they are hurting. And we can go on and on, and we find that people are running away from home, joining cults, involved in gang violence, involved in drug dealing, involved in crime, involved in all kinds of stuff to try to fill the emptiness in their lives. And that's why there's a great need today for us to reach out to the hurting around us. There's a need for hurting people to come to know Jesus. In other words, there is a great need for revival in this generation and in this time in which we live. My brothers and sisters, with all the crime, racism, hatred going on in our world today, I tell you, we need revival. And so this morning, I want to talk about some things that you and I can do to bring about healing in our land. Things we can do to see the lives of hurting people reached by the power of the Almighty God. And so note the text starts by saying, "If my people who are called by my name." Note it doesn't say if the unsaved call upon me and want to help themselves call upon my name, but it says if my people who are called by my name. Someone may wonder, how do you know that you're a child of God? How do you know that you belong to God? My brothers and sisters, every person who has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives, you are a child of God. And so in 2 Chronicles 7:14, is really a biblical plan of action for revival and spiritual renewal. Because note, if you will, that in chapter 6, Solomon asked God to make provisions for the people when they sinned. But months and perhaps years had passed since Solomon prayed this prayer of dedication. And then, Brother Jones, after all this time, God told Solomon that he had heard Solomon's prayer. But you know, how often do we look for immediate answers to our prayer, and then when nothing happens, we wonder if God even heard our prayer? But my brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that God always hears, and he will provide for us. It's just that we have to trust him to answer our prayer in his own time and not ours. Because let me tell you, we cannot manipulate God. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, you cannot manipulate God. And so in answer to Solomon's prayer, he prayed in chapter 6, God answered with four conditions in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14 that I believe they're relevant even today for God's people. For we are to humble ourselves by admitting our sins and pray to God by asking forgiveness and seeking his will continually as we turn from our sinful behavior. Because true repentance is more than just talk, but it's a changed behavior. And so whether we sin individually, as a group, or as a nation, following these steps will lead to forgiveness and renewal. Because God always answers an earnest prayer of repentance. And so we note again that the text is not addressed to everybody, but it's addressed to God's people. For we note that it says, if my people who are called by my name. He's talking about my people. In other words, God is speaking to people who identify themselves with him, people who call themselves by his name, associate with his people and his work. He's speaking to people today that we call saved, redeemed people of God, folk who belong to God today through faith in his son Jesus the Christ. And notice it doesn't say you have to be a certain age. You have to be saved for a certain amount of time. You have to have a lot of gifts or talents. But the text simply says, my people. In other words, we don't need a lot of gifts and talents to bring forth healing in the land. But the one thing that every one of us can do, and that is we can call on the Lord. Yes, Lord. And so it is in verse number 13 of the text that God told Solomon that Israel's disobedience to his word would result in some dire consequences. God would shut up heaven, causing no rain to fall, bringing about a drought. Or he would command the locusts to devour the land, or send a pestilence or some fatal epidemic disease among his people. But it is in our immediate text that God tells Solomon, when chastisement came upon his people because of their sinful rebellion, that they could be restored back to a place of blessings and closeness to him. In other words, our text speaks to how the people of God could receive this restoration. But now when Israel received the warning and promises of our text, they received it on a day of great excitement, because it was on the day God's temple in Jerusalem was being dedicated. And so they were not in need of revival or restoration at that time. But guess what? It wouldn't be long before Israel wandered away from God and allowed sin to dominate their lives and spiritual apathy to destroy their worship. But unlike Israel during that time, we need revival and restoration right now. We need it today, because bigotry, hatred, racism, senseless killing, lying leaders is bringing about, yes, Lord, heartaches and a sense of hopelessness in our world. And so we are in need of revival in the land, and most important, in the church among God's people. In other words, you can come to church every day and still be out of fellowship with the Lord. We need God to break our hearts and shatter our will and bring us to a place of humble repentance, confession, and restoration. Because God is calling on his people to be renewed and revived, which will cause our land to be healed. But there are some spiritual requirements before this can take place. And so the first thing we see in the text are the requirements of spiritual renewal. Because before spiritual renewal can become a reality, the people of God, my people, must meet four specific requirements. And so first of all, spiritual renewal requires preparation. First, we must humble ourselves. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves. Now, the word humble has the idea of being under another. And therefore, the first step of spiritual renewal is remembering who God is and recognizing God's place as we humble ourselves before him by acknowledging his lordship and headship over our lives. Because when we humble ourselves before God, we are admitting our weaknesses and reaching out for his help. Because, my brothers and sisters, the only hope we have is to come to a place where we openly admit our weaknesses and our failures, and we openly admit our utter dependence upon the Lord. Meaning, when we admit we can't do it, and we don't know how, and concede to the fact that we are helpless and hopeless without him, my brothers and sisters, it is only until we reach that place in life that we'll be able to experience a deep, life-changing spiritual renewal. And that's why we must never forget that God blesses humility, but he stands in opposition to pride. And that's why the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 6 and 10, he said, God resists the proud, but favors the humble. And verse 10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. But let me also say to us that if we don't humble ourselves before the Lord, there may come a day when the Lord will do it for you. And his methods are not always the most pleasant. And so spiritual renewal requires humility. Secondly, spiritual renewal requires prayer. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. Now, prayer is humility in action, because when the praying person sees his or her own inability and recognizes God's ability, it will cause him or her to come before the Lord to seek the help one needs. Because prayer is an essential ingredient in the mystery of revival and restoration. Yet many times we come before God in our weak, faltering ways, seeking a small, limited response to our situation. But then God points to a greater answer, and he blesses us in ways that we cannot explain. Because when we seek him in faith, I tell you, he will answer in power. And that's why the Bible says in Philippians 4, 6, in plain and simple terms, it says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. In other words, tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done in your life. And so spiritual renewal requires prayer. Also, spiritual renewal requires passion. If my people who are called by my name would humble and themselves and pray and seek my face. Now, the word seek means to desire something. It's the idea of coming to the place where God is the number one priority and desires of our hearts. Meaning nothing in life is more important or more precious or more needful to us than to have God in all that he offers. And that's why Paul declared in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ. Because Jesus was his passion and the driving force in his life. Yes, Paul's goal was to know and experience this new life that Jesus could produce in him. And so to seek the Lord is to turn away from self. It's to esteem him worthy with more honor than we attribute to ourselves. It's to strive to live for him and be found in his favor by seeking his blessings in and on our lives. In other words, it means to pursue and to desire him above all other things. Because, you know, in our day and time, we have so many other things that we pursue in life, causing us to be fragmented in our devotion, so that we have no place for the Lord to occupy first place in our lives. But my brothers and sisters, that attitude must be corrected if we are to experience revival and restoration in our lives. Because repentance is recognizing that we are headed in the wrong direction. That's the first step. And simply turning around and going in the right direction. In other words, repentance comes from the original language metanoia. It means to turn from going that way and turn back to the right way. I hear some people talking about it, say turn all around, but it don't mean just turn around in a circle, because you'll end up going back in the same way. But it means turning from your way and turning unto the Lord. Bottom line, spiritual renewal can come, yes, Lord, to any people or person, but one must be clean in the sight of God. Now, the final thing that the text reveals is the results of spiritual renewal. Because when God's people, my people, meet God's requirements, we move into a place where it becomes more likely that we will experience true spiritual revival, because God will then hear us and heal us. Note again, the text says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Notice he goes on to say, and then, yes, then and only then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Remember now that this verse was given to Israel, God's chosen people. He said, if my people, they were warned that their sins would be answered by the Lord through chastisement of a drought. And according to verse 13, and a lack of rain would devastate their land, their crops, as well as their population. And so the Lord promises to them is that true repentance equals rain. In other words, if they honor him, he will honor them. If they open their hearts to him, he will in turn open the heavens and bring forth rain and heal their land. My brothers and sisters, in a sense, we are in the same situation today, because our homes, our communities, our world is going through a drought of spiritual blessing and spiritual power. But if God's children will come back to him in genuine repentance and true devotion, we'll begin to see our lives, our families, our churches, our community, our nation, and our world impacted by the grace and the power of God. And so as I try and move to the close, because some of y'all seem to be getting drowsy, note again that, yes, Lord, that the condition and promises related to revival are given to God's people. He said, if my people, and yet when time of refreshing comes, it will touch the whole nation, meaning true spiritual renewal in our hearts and in our churches will create a spiritual dynamic that will impact our homes, our communities, our schools, our neighbors, our nations, and our world. But now the key word in the text is if. If, which is a conditional word, meaning if we meet God's requirements, then he will do what he promises. Note the text says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. My brothers and sisters, I believe you'll agree with me when I say that our land, it needs healing, but it's dependent on God's people meeting God's, yes, Lord, requirements of spiritual renewal. And so the text says, as God's people, we must humble ourselves before God, and we must pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and heal our land. And that's why Jesus said one day, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. Meaning as God's people, after meeting his spiritual requirements, we must lift up the name of Jesus by telling men and women, boys and girls, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We got to tell somebody that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus hung, bled, and died for the sins of the world. And after laying in Joseph's new tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, bright early Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. It's because he lives I can face tomorrow, because Jesus lives. All fear is gone. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? I know he's all right, because I tried him for myself. One day he'll